Sessionable.
Yeah, let's start.
Go for it.
Welcome to Sessionable. This is episode 50.
Yeah. I can't believe we actually made it to 50.
Episode spectacular.
It feels like the marathon runner who's like slowly dying, limping over the finishing line, but we got there. Like,
but we plan on keep going.
We just won't die.
And it's also coming up to our third birthday, so it's a bit of a special episode. It's not. It's going to be a normal episode. But
when's the third birthday?
I think it's the 27th of April.
Okay.
So hopefully this will be out pretty much on that day.
I'll do my best to do a quick turnaround for this one.
You might have heard all four of us are here. All four of who on mic voices. Unfortunately, our producer couldn't make it today.
Well, if you didn't say that, no one would have known anyway.
He's right here. There he is. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, he's waving. Yeah, he's waving.
He's waving. Yeah. Our producer is giving us a funny look.
making some bad puns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do we know when was the last time all four of us were on mic together?
It would have been before I left for Germany.
Or the live episode.
I think it might have been the live episode.
When you were on the big screen.
There was that one. Yep.
The big little screen, yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, so we are drinking a beer.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I'm drinking coffee, actually.
For the listeners, it's pretty much, it's 11 a.m. on a Sunday morning. We're at Wayward, because Jason from Wayward very kindly let us in to record the episode before he opens.
Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
We might have a chat to him a bit later in the episode. See how he feels.
Sort of put it out that this officially is a breakfast beer for me because I've only been up for less than an hour. So.
Man, I was up at 8:30 this morning. I was, bright and early. Yeah.
Well done.
Not happy about it.
Gold star to Tom.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Okay, so what are we drinking? We have... this is the Colonial Emergence of Astra, which is... I think this one's just a limited release.
I'm going to guess by the shrink wrap can that it is a limited release.
Exactly. But I think there's a possibility of it, becoming a bit more regular. It's a pale lager, so we don't drink many of them on this show.
Oh, that's cool. So it's brewed in the new brewery in Melbourne, but cans in WA.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So it's produced by hand in Melbourne, canned by hand in Margaret River.
Oh, there we go. Cool. So it's... a canned pale lager with a new Aussie hop called Astra, I think is what.
So this would probably be the first package release of their new brewery as well. I'm going to take a step and say.
Possibly, yeah. I don't know for sure, but yeah, that sounds possible.
It's really good.
I really like this lager.
I'm loving this new hop. It's great.
It's fruity without being too fruity. It's not a fruit salad. It's like... Yep. It's like a back-end fruitiness as well. It's not like really right up in your face. Yeah, it's really good.
It's also got a bit of spikiness as well.
And it still is a lager. Like, it is a pale
lager. That is a style?
It's definitely a lager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pale lager is a style.
Pale lager?
And for a pale lager, it's very tasty. It's good. And, I haven't mentioned Germany yet. So, here we go. But this reminds me of, like, good lagers that I was having in Germany. This is... a good lager in Australia, which is something that we are lacking.
I think it's a bit of a stretch to bring it back to Germany. It's a pale lager. It's the craft version of Australia's beer.
Sure, but it's still like to make a good lager is tough, and they've done this.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's a Munich Hellers, but
this
I'm saying it's
crafty VB. This is what this is meant to be.
Good.
Yeah.
And you know, Liam, everything's about Germany these days.
I was there for a year.
I forgot they won the war. That's right. Yeah.
The war for my heart.
I think it's actually a really clever way to showcase this hop as well.
Yeah.
By taking a pale lager and then obviously putting bountiful amounts of this new hop in there, it's a great way of showcasing it. We used to see hops showcased in pale ales and IPAs, but this is actually really quite a nice way of doing it.
It works really well. It's a really well made beer. It's really balanced
and brings that hop flavor right to the front, which is very nice. I do like it.
And of course, it comes in those quality colonial cans.
Oh, the ring top cans
that we all love.
Yeah, I think we've talked about it on the podcast before that I've just been smashing a whole bunch of the small ales lately.
That's why it's so good.
And I don't know. I was like, is it because I like the novelty of the can, or is it like I like the beer? But I mean, like, I pretty much have a constant six pack in my fridge.
Both.
So
probably both.
Yeah.
Was it your recommendation in the last episode?
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liam proving he doesn't listen when he's not on the episode.
Well, I've listened to it.
Okay.
And I think it was mentioned that I mentioned it before
so I think it was. All right.
Suck that.
You passed the test. You passed the test.
So why don't we start off with some big news in the last few days about Beer del Borgo, the Italian brewer. They've been bought out by AB InBev.
AB InBev buys Birra del Borgo.
That was a bit of a shock, actually. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess none of them are never shocks when these announcement comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's because Leo's been so involved in the Sydney community. And then, I mean, having a chance to go over to Italy and to Rome, where he just has such a foothold, like, he just sort of owns an empire. It's a bit, it's a bit of a surprise to see it go. But, you know, I think...
That goes... It's a attractive... buy though, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Good reach across, across the world, and you know, I don't think we should be, like you say, we shouldn't be surprised about these things anymore. You know, we've seen that they've kind of turned up the intensity in these buyouts. It used to be that it was seemed to be more about acquisition, but now it seems like more targeted that they're going for these brands that really give them, you know, kudos in the craft beer market.
Yeah, well, they've gone out to fucking Italy to get one. So
yeah,
I think geographically, it's a good. It's a good buyout as well, because I'm not sure if they really own anything major in terms of craft in Europe. So
yeah,
that'll kind of give them that.
Not in the craft sector. So yeah.
They own a few in Belgium, not really craft ones, but kind of Belgian brands that are.
Because you know, like, they already own a couple of American ones, but it was just.
I think it's their first
North
craft
American.
Sector in Europe.
Yeah. Didn't they buy Camden?
Or yes.
Someone else. Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah. Camden.
Someone bought Camden.
Yeah, I think that was AB InBev.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Do they own any Australian ones? Do you
in
guys
the
know?
Craft sector?
In
not
the
that
craft
I'm
sector?
Not,
no?
Not that I'm aware of.
Interesting.
Not in the craft sector, but there's they're currently trying to merge with SAB, aren't they?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So in that case, they will.
Yeah.
I think one of the interesting things of note is this is the first time there's been a buyout announcement that's affected Australia. That hasn't been followed by a fucking barrage of the sky is falling on the internet and being as good.
Oh, I mean, it happened yesterday, so
I think
you know.
It's flown under the radar. So
has
far.
Anyone? I haven't seen the outlandish comments of "I'm never stocking Birra del Borgo again" come through.
I saw that from Brewdog James.
Well, that's a given.
But that's
I think it's an Autobot. As soon as a buyout announcement, his Instagram and Twitter feed is just Autobot out.
Are we becoming a bit desensitized to this sort of thing now, though? You know,
this is what I'm
saying.
You
can't show the same level of outrage every time, and you know, like you say, it's becoming less of a shock now that these successful craft empires are.
Yeah, and I think sadly, Birra del Borgo never really reached its full potential as far as. It didn't have the loyalty of some of the other beer brands in Australia, which I think is a shame because
it's great beer.
Yeah, I've always said that. I think Leo's one of my favorite brewers currently, and some of the beers I've tried from Birra del Borgo are just absolutely amazing. You know, using stuff like grape must and wild yeast, and he's really done some really cool things. And it sort of flew under the radar
before a lot of that was done as well.
Before it was cool.
He was one of the early innovators. I think one of the big reactions I saw. Which was incorrect, so we should probably put this on the record, is people saying...
The Crafty Pint? Was that the Crafty Pint tweet? Yeah, that was a bit disappointing.
Saying that therefore Nomad was now half owned by AB InBev, which is not true. Nomad's not owned by Birra del Borgo, it's owned by half by Leo himself and half by Experience It. So.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that he won't sell his half to...
Who knows?
AB InBev.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Look, I think that's a whole other discussion. I'm pretty sure the other part is in Nomad... would have been made aware of what was happening. And so I'm sure they have an idea of what's going on. Yep. I'm surprised that Birra del Borgo got bought out, but, you know, like, good congratulations to Leo, but I'll be very fucking surprised if Nomad gets bought out. Mm. Yeah.
So there you go, listeners. Come to Sessionable if you want to know the truth. facts are always straight here.
One of the reactions I saw yesterday was that Cantillon pulled out from the Birra del Borgo festival, beer festival that they were holding because
they used to have quite a strong relationship.
The whole thing. Yeah.
They probably still do, but you know, appearances have to be kept as
That's
well.
That's true.
But yeah.
Just turning back to the Australian reaction to this again, I just wonder if it's, you know, where it's an overseas brand that's being bought out as opposed to
a local
brand, does that mean that we're impacted less by it? Or does it actually mean that we actually get some more positives out of it potentially? I know Birra del Borgo have pretty big distribution anyway, but some of these American breweries like Ballast Point, for example, who were recently bought out, there could actually be some positives for Australian drinkers.
AB InBev doesn't have too much distribution in Australia. They have a lot, but they don't. I don't know. I'm always wary until it happens. You know, if they're not selling to Australia already, just because they get bought out, that doesn't mean they're going to start.
Yeah,
that, it gives them more option too.
It does. It gives them more ability
to choose to take that option. So,
I'd be interested to see if Experience It keeps them in their portfolio.
That, yeah.
Because they we'll built their see. Portfolio off Birra del Borgo, pretty basically. Mike.
We wouldn't. There wouldn't be Experience if it wasn't for Birra del Borgo.
Absolutely not.
Not the scope that we know. There wouldn't be.
So that'd be interesting.
And just from your guys' perspective, have you got any comfort on following recent buyouts that actually, you know, there isn't as many concerns as there may have been originally about quality deteriorating after a big buyout?
Name one brewery that has been bought out that the quality has severely deteriorated. Going back to like Little Creatures,
Little Creatures does.
Has the beers changed? No, I don't fucking think they have.
I think it has.
Hold on, we have a hand up in the back.
Yeah. Mountain Goat. Mountain Goat is. I haven't actually tried any of their specialty beers, and they still have been doing a lot. They've actually probably been doing more specialties now than they ever have.
But is there?
But we're just not seeing them in New South Wales because they just don't have a sales team in New South Wales because they decided to move on to other roles.
Yeah.
So I think that's more about that's not about the quality of the beer that's changed. It's the distribution method.
But the quality of beer, mate. I mean, I don't. I think that's probably a bit early to say. I think. I think Little Creatures, though. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you listen to the live episode where we had Jack from Pirate Life, who worked at Creatures pre and after, and said to himself that nothing had changed, just that meetings took twice as long.
I mean, I of course I listened to the episode.
And so you're saying that you know more than a brewer who brewed there pre and post.
No, I'm not saying that at all. Matilda Bay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like the handling of that, it has kind of affected it rather than the actual brewing itself.
Once again, I don't think the beers have changed. I think it's more the... I don't know.
Alpha and Dog Bolter might still be the same, but the brewery itself is... I mean, it's not a brewery anymore. It's a brand, right?
Yeah, oh, it's two brands, because Fat Yak's its own brand now.
I know. That's a whole other discussion about CUB not knowing what the fuck they're doing with any of their brands. But
yeah, look, I'll give you that, because I've never really had a big...
But can you name any brewery that got bought out that got significantly better after they got bought out?
Better or worse?
Better. So asking the opposite question.
No.
Yeah, I think they buy a brand and maintained. They yeah, but that's
see, I don't
breweries that were formerly growing, then they just stagnate and stay the same.
I don't think ownership is necessarily the issue. It's production methods, and you know, even breweries that don't buy get bought out but expand. You know, I've seen examples of where expansion doesn't necessarily go very well in the beer. They can never replicate that original taste of the beer after a big expansion. I think the biggest concern is that when these breweries get swallowed up is that they get shut down and then production gets moved to some massive warehouse factory somewhere and it just doesn't have the same love that it used to. But what I'm suggesting is that after some of the US buyouts, now they're actually buying out pretty big breweries in the first place.
And it's
not necessarily a given that they're going to close that down and move it elsewhere because it's already quite a big facility.
Yeah.
I think AB InBev has actually shown that they can let an acquisition do the right thing. So like the way they've handled Goose Island, pretty much for the most part, except there's been a few questions about this year's Bourbon County.
Yeah, but that was... But they've done well. That's nothing to do with AB InBev. That was just...
AB InBev bought them.
That's got nothing to do with that. The infections they had in
Yeah, that's a quality issue that's rather than...
No, not even the infections. Just around the packaging and the size and the price and the, you know, like...
They were able to basically do a recall and swap out for all of those. Exactly. And they wouldn't have been able to afford to do that if they weren't owned by AB InBev. So they could write that off.
Yep.
And...
So no, there's definitely positives, but I think there are negatives. I know to say
I'm not saying that there is not negatives. I'm just saying that we are yet to see some things. I'll give you Matilda Bay. I've never really had a lot to do with Matilda Bay before the buy. It's just because I wasn't at that point in craft beer before that happened. But I just don't think it's a given either one way or the other. It just depends on how they handle it. Yep. And then without trying to defend AB InBev the whole time, they're probably getting better at how they look after these brands as well.
No, I don't disagree. But
and they're learning from their mistakes as well as, so.
You'd hope so.
One thing I always say whenever a brewery gets bought out is that it might not be necessarily amazing for the brewer. Like, it might not be bad, might not be good, but I think it is a benefit to the craft beer sector that the bigger brewers are buying these brands and, you know, intend to get them wider distribution and as a follow-on effect kind of spread the word of craft beer.
Yeah.
So, you know, it might not be even relevant if Birra del Borgo maintains its same quality as long as it gets to more mouths.
Yeah.
Are we still at the point where we need the word to continue to be spread that way?
Yeah, we are. But we won't always be, hopefully. All right, should we take a break and grab the next beer?
Yeah, cool.
Cool.
Sessionable.
All right. Well, let's start this part of the podcast.
So three of us have the Furious Gnome in front of us.
Oh, yeah. Adrian's just stepped out for this segment.
Yeah.
So we have a special guest with us.
Hi.
This is
tagging in like Mexican wrestling. Yeah.
It's our good mate, Jason.
Hi, everybody. How you all doing?
Hey, Jace.
Hey, Jace. Hi. What's crack-a-lackin'?
Yeah, beer. We're drinking one of your beers.
So tell us, who's your daddy and what does he do?
Who is my daddy and what does he do? It's not Arnold Schwarzenegger. I guess here at the brewery, Mikey's probably the closest thing to my daddy, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a not super good thing.
So, Jace, your official title is, I'm guessing, assistant bar manager at Wayward Brewing?
That would be me.
Slash
keg move arounderer.
General dude. Slash events guy.
Beer orderer.
Guest tap
coordinator.
I made some soundproofing panels for the roof once. that took like 12 hours. That was cool.
Nice.
they work well enough that we can record a podcast here in the back of our wine vat, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of me, really.
Cool. Nice.
And Jace, you've worked with both Tom and I in previous jobs in the beer scope as well.
Yeah, a bit of a craft beer whore. Camper Down Cellars, ex Flodge Empire. All over the place.
So if you've drunk beer in Sydney in the last 3 or 4 years, chances are you'll have had Jason grinning over the bar at you.
Probably.
And berating you to drink Reshes.
Look, all right, come on.
Is that in your business title as AKA Reshes fiend as well?
You leave Reshes the hell out of this. Right? I've had enough of this.
So we're drinking Wayward beer. We've got the Furious Gnome.
Yeah, fresh out of the tanks on Thursday.
Ooh, this is the second batch of the Gnome, I think, is it?
Second
right?
batch of the Gnome,
and it's pretty different to the first, right? From what I remember.
Colours look very different. Yeah.
First batch was a wee bit darker.
A touch of smokiness to the last one as well.
Yeah, which apparently wasn't supposed to happen. This is now the original recipe that the first one should have been.
Right. Okay.
So less of that cigar, ashtray, leathery stuff, more of the light caramel roastiness.
Yeah.
But it's still an absolute malt bomb, though, isn't it? I mean, that's the idea. This is a malt showcase beer.
Malt
fest. And it really is. It's a malt fest.
Yeah. Really, really good. And hiding its alcohol pretty well, up around the 6% mark.
6%.
That is 6%?
That's 6%.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's tasting lovely.
The fact that I have none left in front of me tells me that I did not think that was 6%.
I would have, if you put this in front of me, I would have said
4.5. Maybe. Like,
If there's one thing we do well here, it's hide alcohol in beers.
It's a distinctly Aussie ESB, which is no bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. It's good. Hot day, cold day, don't really matter. It's good all weather beer.
ESB stands for English style bitter, right, Jace?
Something like that, yeah.
So what's your favorite beer at the moment? What are you smashing here at Wayward?
Favorite beer at the moment? Look, I just can't go past the Charmer. I think he's our little lost hero.
Yeah.
Has essentially been on tap every day since we've opened, except for last week.
It is the OG, yeah.
Yeah, we ran out for the first time last week, and it was almost like retiring a jersey for a sports team.
Did you have that Charmer to replace it?
We were charmerless. We were charmerless for 2 days.
Charmless.
At least you were here, so the bar wasn't charmless. Right?
Yeah. Extra sparkle that week. I would be really disappointed, to be honest, if I came in here and there was no iteration of Charmer whatsoever.
No Charmer. Yeah. And it was, I don't think there was a dry eye behind the bar. You know? we're pulling that blackboard off and everyone's tearing up a little bit.
That's because you guys fucking drank it all. There was none left.
The most recent version of the Midnight Barley Cowboy was really grooving on that.
I have to try that before I go. I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah, guy running on the nitro is something special.
No, we'll be trying that.
It's good. Nice. It's really good.
So you weren't here at the beginning when Wayward first launched the brewery and the bar here, but you came in subsequently.
Yeah, so
pretty quickly though, or
well, yeah, so while working at Camperdown, I moonlighted here on my weekends off. So generally just worked Friday, Saturdays, just slinging over the bar. Yep. And was lucky enough to find myself working here full time as of January, which is really cool.
And it's fair to say it's been something of a success, the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. Going really well. You know, Saturdays have been kicking off, Fridays really well. And then Sundays now with the addition of live music, down in the brewery, has been going really, really well.
Yeah, nice. Liam and I were here on Friday and it was jumping. It was great.
Yeah, it was going off.
Yeah.
It was funny because we're talking to just some regulars here on Friday and I haven't had a chance to make it for a Sunday sesh yet. With the live music, but like multiple people on Friday raving night were coming up to saying, have you guys been here on Sundays awesome. Yet? So, yeah. So, good stuff. Really cool. It's good to see Vienna people next door getting involved. And,
It's a cool little laneway to be a part of. There's a little gym down the road, and then we've got the Vienna recording studio next door.
Nice little mural at the front. That was really cool. Do you want to talk about that quickly?
The mural?
About the murals. So,
or that whole street festival day?
Yeah, so
weekend.
We very quickly threw together the Waynewood inaugural Gehrig Lane Festival as part of the Leichhardt Council's Lost program. So we were lucky enough that we got council approval to shut down the laneway for a weekend. We had a couple of artists outside, Bird Hat and I think Skulk was the other guy, out painting a nice big mural for us. We had, you know, three food trucks here, and then live music all day on this Sunday, like right from 12, which was really, really cool.
And that was fucking heaving all
week.
That
was massive. It was one of our biggest weeks over the bar. I think we had something like 26 keg changes of our beers. And then I think with the guest stuff, I think it ended up being nearly 30 kegs.
That's amazing, isn't it? That is amazing.
I must say as well, I love that this place is cheap.
Yeah.
It's good. It's like, what, $5 for a midi, $10 for a schooner of all your stuff?
$10 for a pint.
Sorry, not even a schooner, fucking pints. Yeah. Pints.
Yeah.
I love the fact that, and guest beers and then Wayward beers are priced in two different brackets. So,
It just makes it less of a... For us, it doesn't matter. Like, we pay more. But for newer people getting into it, it makes it less of a barrier. And they can be like, $10 for a pint of a really fucking good beer.
Yeah.
I love it that you have, like, the guest beers, which are a little bit more expensive. Not overly more expensive, but just the fact that, like, it's that extra little push for someone who comes in the first time to try Wayward, Wayward beers first, and then...
And then maybe try something else.
And then for the salt dogs like us, we can come and try...
Garage Project
or...
Five Barrels.
Five Barrels, which both the Five Barrels been on have been really cool.
New Boys from the Gong.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I think you've done a really good job at curating your guest taps without blowing you up too much because
it's great. It's turned it into a real top tier place.
I can name probably about three or four breweries that are New South Wales based that I tried here first, heard about, but this is the first time I'd seen them on tap.
That's great. And there's other initiatives happening. You got, is it Keg in the Community or something similar to that? Then the first one of those is coming up?
So first one of those will be launching on the 1st of May. So we did a collaboration brew with Cystic Fibrosis New South Wales, which is super awesome. And as an adult was really cool because my mum is the CEO of Cystic Fibrosis New South Wales. So I got to brew a beer with my mum.
That's fun.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Awesome. This is it. You know, who'd have thought when I was 18 working behind bars that one day I'd do something that cool.
That is really rad. I love it.
So the Rose Kolsch coming out. We just took all the rose out of the beer yesterday and it's smelling and tasting really good.
Yum.
Yeah.
And I think we've alluded to before that there's some very attractive looking barrels at the back of the bar. And they're about to get...
Tell us what you're allowed to tell us, I guess.
Oh, okay. What I'm allowed to tell you, I can tell you that all eight barrels have beer in them. Okay. Can tell you that four of the barrels are just a base sour, which we tasted a little bit of the other day, and it's really good.
So I hear.
I heard that.
Yeah.
On the grapevine.
And then, so two of them are barrel-aged versions of our Barley Cowboy, which will be coming out probably in the next month or so. They've been in there for about 3 or 4 months.
Cool.
And the other two are barrel-fermented Saisons.
Wow.
Which... should be really, really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are our eight barrels.
And are they all, or some of those are being released at your event at the Royal Albert?
Yes.
That has barrels in the title?
It does have barrels in the title. So we're going to be doing a bit of a tap showcase / barrel release at the Royal Albert next month, I think.
I can get the details up.
Yeah,
now.
I think, yeah.
Let's put a bit of a plug in.
Yeah, we may as well put a plug in. So that's going to be the Wayward Ales Barrels and Tales event. So some funky stuff to do with some motorbikes, some cool barrel aged beers, and then
12th of May at the Albert.
Very helpfully being held when I'm out of the country, and we'll miss it. So
We'll let you know how it went.
I'm sure you will.
I'll do a bit of a burger hack and get myself a double royale with cheese, and then maybe stick some dumplings in there or something. Yeah.
Just a stupid burger.
Why
hack.
Not? Yeah, let's do it.
Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. All right. Good stuff.
Okay. We probably have a little bit more time, I think.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
How long you got to need to open the bar?
We had a bit of follow up that we wanted to chat about, which was
we need to talk again about Bavarian Beer Cafe.
Yeah. This is becoming a regular segment. What we think about Bavarian Beer Cafe. I missed the last episode,
but like the guys did a German episode.
When I got back.
Yep. And touched on a lot of the fact of how the Bavarian Beer Cafe had made a big song and dance about the fact they're changing their marketing style, and they're not longer going to be marketing about big, boisterous, big-titted women and all these things, and they're...
And I praised them. I was like, good, if you're changing and you're listening to the feedback, fantastic, that's good. I'm now here to absolutely rescind that praise.
Yep, I saw an ad on the bus the other day for a big-titted woman, and I think the beer was called the Dopey Blonde or the something or other.
I've got
blonde.
It here, the Blonde Moment.
The Blonde Moment, yeah. There you go.
Well, just so everybody knows what we're going on about, this is the latest advertising campaign, I suppose.
For the Crafty Bavarian Beers, which is their Australian craft brewery. That is their brand that is going to be sold in their bars, in the Bavarian Beer Cafes and the Munich Brauhaus.
So this campaign, or this what we're looking at now on the webpage, is titled Meet the Ladies.
Oh, Christ.
Because all their beers are named after the ladies?
And Liam's going to do a little reading for us here, just to give you an idea
so
of what
I'll run through
this
the styles. It's a Munich Lager, and the artwork for that is a woman in a bikini whipping a lion.
Yeah.
There's the... Let me try and find the other one. Sorry, one second.
Read the hop doc one.
I'm trying to find where I had those. Got it.
Here we go.
Cool. So there's the Blonde Moment, which is their blonde ale.
I hate the fact that I saw that on a bus.
The Hop Doc Wheat Beer, which is a sailor lady on a boat. There's the Butcher's Bride, which is a lady with her skirt being blown up with a mischievous smile and a cleaver in her hand. And they've got some great tasting notes on their beers. Let me read the Butcher's Bride Pale Ale. This stunner isn't your average housewife. Beneath her smooth malt veneer, she's slightly fruity. Currently married to husband number 8, there's a reason men keep on coming back for more.
I don't know if we need to keep... I don't know why we need to keep saying this, but first of all, beer isn't just for men. As number one. Fucking so frustrating and stupid and... They were on the right track, and then they've just gone almost worse than they used to be.
It's definitely worse than it was
the
before.
The other bus ad is the we've got the best racks since the guy at the Rack of Ribs and sitting next to two women with their boobs out.
Well, that's just dreadful. I mean, that really is dreadful.
Yeah.
And I don't actually know how they get away with this stuff.
And then that's the one you probably saw on the bus, the Wonder Bra. Is that the one?
No, the ones I've been seeing on the buses are when you're actually sitting inside the bus and they have the little curved edges along the side of the roof and they've got all of their artwork for various different beers along the inside.
It's just...
There are children on those buses.
Yes.
They're just not, like... It's fucking... It's so frustrating because you can, like... I have a bit of a problem with the fact that they've set up their own brewery called the Crafty Bavarian. There's nothing Bavarian about it, except, you know, the company's not even... Whatever. That's one thing. But then using that as their main marketing tactic, it's like when... It's not the fucking 50s anymore. We're past that.
I don't know.
Like, be smarter about it. And if you target...
are we really?
But no, we should be, though.
We should be. It should be everyone making a conservative effort
to make it happen. Popular craft beers, and they don't do that.
I mean,
Feral don't do it. You guys don't do it. Like,
you can tell us, Jason, what's the proportion of women that come through the door here to drink beer?
It's It would be
60-40,
probably.
Yeah. So they're effectively turning their back on a potential 40% of the market.
Yeah. And it's
Potentially 50%.
Well, yeah,
and plus, any woman that buys that beer needs to be taken
and plus the men who don't appreciate that branding as well. You know, so it's that as well.
Well,
so,
I will. I'm not going there. I'm not going to buy their beers. I'm not going to go there.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
it's pretty fucked.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should take a break and we'll come back with recommendations and stuff with Adrian.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Cheers, Jace.
Thanks, Jace.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Sessionable.
Gotta say, so far, best podcast ever.
I know. What a journey we've been on today.
Ups and downs.
Yeah, roller coasters. You know, it is.
Some marvelous beers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't believe what happened in that middle section of the podcast. That was quite wild.
It sounds like one of those like links you click on Facebook, like top 10 things. I can't believe number 7.
All right, so we'll wrap up now and we'll do some quick recommendations and
I'll start, I guess.
No, yeah. Let's go.
So I'm going to recommend for my non-beer.
Yep.
It's a web series called The Catering Show, spelled with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
their both named Kate.
Because they're both named Kate.
It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's two Aussie comedians, both named Kate. And one of them is basically intolerant to all food. She's just like gluten intolerant and lactose intolerant and like meat intolerant. She can't eat anything,
just
basically.
A sad example of a human being.
Basically. Yeah. And then the other Kate is just like a massive foodie. And just like one of those really annoying foodies.
Yeah.
And so it's about them. And it's fictionalized versions of themselves, but it's really funny.
Where are they from?
They're all, I think it's Melbourne, right? Yeah.
So they're not Australian, they're from Preston. Melbourne.
They're from Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they are it's very funny. The episodes are like 7 or 8 minutes long.
So is it a podcast?
It's a
YouTube
web series. It's on ABC iView.
So the first season is on YouTube.
It's on iView as well. But both seasons are on iView if you want to watch them all there.
Yeah.
But I think the first season's on YouTube and then ABC picked them up for the second season for iView.
YouTube's better quality anyway. So watch the first season on YouTube.
And then second season on iView. Yeah. And it's very funny. That's my non-beer recommendation.
What's your beer recommendation? Oh, we got to do all the non-beers first.
Let's do a round.
Yeah, let's do a round. And then...
So my non-beer recommendation is it's an album by the band... Explosions in the Sky, a post-hardcore band that's mostly instrumental music they make. I think a few of their songs might have vocals. But this is their first album in about 4 years, and I've been listening to it last week, and it's just really, really good. They've been doing a whole bunch of soundtracks recently, and I feel that this album's informed by those. It's kind of very cinematic in its soundscape, really beautiful. Kind of listen to it on a rainy day or whatever and just chill. So that's my recommendation.
Nice.
I'm
also going to do an album, actually. I don't think I've done an album on this before. But
the Hamilton soundtrack, right? Is that what you're going
to
say?
No. I still haven't listened to it. And the more you talk about it, the more I'm not going to listen to it just to be spiteful.
Listening to it on the way here.
I did listen to that, and that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. I don't care how great it is. I'm not going to listen to it the way Tom talks about it. Anyone that knows me knows I'm a massive Queens of Stone Age fan. So I've been listening to a shitload of the new Iggy Pop album, which is his last album ever, called Post-Pop Depression. Nice. And it's produced by Josh Homme from Queens of Stone Age. Features a whole bunch of guys from Queens, the drummer from Arctic Monkeys. And it's a very un-Iggy Pop, Iggy Pop album. And it's basically an album of Iggy Pop dealing with the fact of him dying and not going to make music anymore.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool. And it's very Queens of Stone Age. It's very Josh Homme. It's a grower. It took me a little while to get into it. Those are the first couple of tracks that really stood out when I first listened to it. But, I really dig it. It's really cool. And it's weird. It's like not a heavy album, but it's lyrically really heavy and really dark, but played over just really groovy music. And, been listening to it a shitload. I'm hoping that they'll come out and tour Australia on it, which I don't think they will, because it's a pretty amazing lineup of musicians. But yeah, great album.
Not a bad idea to foresee your death in an album, given the rate that we're losing stars.
Well, I mean, like, Iggy was very close to David Bowie, and I think, and the whole thing is they're touring and they're playing a lot of songs off this album and the two albums that Iggy worked with David Bowie on, so I think that's very much a part of it as well. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
All right, well... thanks for bringing the tone down.
Sorry, guys.
My recommendations are sort of a beery one. without it being a beer, I'm going to recommend a Facebook group called Craft Beer Crew Australia.
Nice. Hashtag so-called experts.
It's a very nice little community, and it's run very, very well by one of our friends, Matt Brown.
Yeah, it is run really well. And out of all the beer nerd communities on Facebook, it's probably the best, yeah. I think, as far as tone. And Matt's doing a really good job to weed out.
To make it, exactly. Make it a friendly place.
It is. Yeah,
keep
yeah.
it, keep it about, positive. Yeah. Keep yep. it open. He's very much about bringing people into the community yep. as well.
Matt is just a stalwart of the community. And,
just,
and I think
like,
this is
such a nicest guy around.
And it's just generally it's just an extension of who he is as a person. So,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yep. So he's, yeah, like I say, all about all-encompassing, bringing everybody into the community. The group's grown hugely since it started probably 18 months ago.
I think it's
ago.
The biggest Australian craft beer.
Is it? Cool.
It's definitely one of them.
Yeah, there's...
I think, when is it going to be the merge outs when Matt starts buying other Facebook community pages?
There's over 2,000 members there now. Matt organises regular sort of pub crawls and bar meetups. So
there's a Newcastle one coming up. We should plug that.
There is. Yeah. Yeah, plug that. And there's also, he's doing a thing, I think it's a monthly thing called the Pub Club.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is a meetup at a bar once a month, a different bar. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
So the next one's at the Dove and Olive in Sydney, I believe. So, this is a very much a Sydney-centric group, but there are members from all around Australia.
Yep.
And I know Matt's encouraging people to organise similar sort of meetups in other parts of Australia. So really, this is great. If you're a bit of a lone wolf and you can't really get your friends into craft beer, but you'd quite like to sort of meet up with other craft beer nerds or craft beer enthusiasts, these pub crawls and these pub clubs are a really great way to just get out there and meet open people who are
willing to have a chat about
beer. Yeah, absolutely.
You two went on the last one.
I went to the last pub club and also went on the
pub
crawl.
Yeah, same.
And just a bunch of nice people I'd never met before.
Yep.
Got talking about beer, made some new mates. I really enjoyed both events. Yeah.
Cool.
So
I think it's worth it just to meet Matt because he's just such an infectiously positive person.
Yeah.
So
you can't help it. Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed he is. So that's Craft Beer Crew CBC. Search for CBC Craft Beer Crew Australia on Facebook.
Yep. Hashtag so-called experts.
Okay. Now beer recommendations. I don't know if guys heard, but I was away for a year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell us about it, Tom.
you can check out episode 49 where I tell you about that.
And 48 and 47, 46, 50, 51.
So I missed a lot of kind of newer brands and newer beers coming out. And I'm going to recommend one, not necessarily one beer, probably two beers, but from the same brewery that I really enjoyed over the last few weeks. So from Mismatch in South Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really enjoyed their beers. The black IPA and the red IPA especially. I thought they were beautifully crafted, really nice, not too over the top. But all the flavors that I want from those styles, right there, very tasty. I think it was the Evil Archie's Red IPA and the Oro Negro Black IPA.
Yeah, that Black IPA is pretty tasty.
It was
tasty.
So good. And it was on tap at Bit a Few, and I was just like, just sinking them.
Well, Mismatch has been around for a little while, but they're sort of making a bit more of a play interstate.
Yeah.
I think they've solidified their arrangement with Hill Cider Co., so they're being distributed together.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think the guys are doing a really good job, and we start to see the beers come out, and the beers are pretty bloody good. It's interesting that Adrian, I never knew to be a big fan of black IPAs, so to give that a rap.
I love them.
Pretty big thing. You're pretty critical on your black IPAs.
I'm critical because there's no real kind of consensus on what the style should be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, in general, I like them.
It's starting to solidify.
I mean, I do a lot of black and tans with IPAs and stouts just to kind of get the balance that I like.
Cool.
But yeah, it's different people have different views on them, myself included. But I reckon this one's a pretty good one.
Yep.
Nice.
I'm going to recommend, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this brewer called Dave Puddin' Padden.
Dave Puddin' Padden.
I think I've heard of him.
Tell us more.
Yeah.
He runs this brewery called Akasha. I'm not sure if
Akasha.
You guys have heard of it.
Japanese brewery?
It's Japanese. No, they're from everyone knows who
the
we're talking about.
Of Five Dog.
If you listen to Sessionable, you've probably heard about Akasha before.
We've done an episode there.
<I know. laughs>
So I'm gonna recommend their double IPA called the Corbin D. Which is
The second batch of Corbin D is too legit to quit.
It's just super well balanced, nice and dry, not super sweet, pretty hoppy, really easy to drink. I would recommend having at least one, but no more than two. because I had
lesson learned around the table. I think
I had three the other night, and the next morning was not good. So yeah.
I agree strongly with Adrian's recommendation, so much so that he's actually stolen my own recommendation.
Did it feel like a redhead woman had like crashed through the front window of your car? Is that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's what it felt like. My taxi.
Well, I think.
I also want to, with the Corbin Day, I think also try the wooden leg if you can. Yeah. I think that's fantastic. I think it's.
Wooden leg is really great. I generally wouldn't. Preference and style would lean towards a double IPA more than a triple because I find triples a bit too sweet.
But, I find the wooden leg to be. As a triple, not super sweet. That's what I'm
like. Yeah,
about
yeah, exactly yeah. right. I agree. Great beer.
Yep.
And it's, you know, from a personal point of view, I really like seeing these sort of beers coming out of Akasha now. I know, you know, we've talked before about how...
I copped a lot of flack for being too mainstream.
Well, not so much mainstream, but approachable, right?
Yes.
You know, they really went with approachability, which...
Well, that's the style direction that Dave and the guys took, and he's talked about that on the podcast as well.
Not suggesting these, you know, the Corbin Deal, the wooden leg aren't approachable, but it's just nice to have something a bit, you know, heftier.
And now they've got, you know, a few more staff and their production's evening out a little bit. They can actually do these styles of beers. And I think the Corbin D is going to be around. It's not going to be a year-round release, but it's going to be coming out at least a few times out of the year. So
And we should mention they've started bottling as well. So
Yep. Great stuff. Right. Yep. I love their packaging too. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it
does.
Yeah.
It's great.
My beer recommendation, I wanted to recommend something from Grifter, but I'm just thinking I'm just going to recommend just Grifter as a whole. Mm-hmm. Go to Grifter, go to their venue, which is behind the Vic in the Park. Fucking sick place. Like Wayward, they've done a really good job in the theming and the style of their cellar door.
Yeah.
Without ripping anyone else. It's very Grifter. It's very unique, but really cool. And their beers are just tasty.
They got a pool table.
Really
there.
Good. Nice. They have a pool table. They're fresh and clean. Is Like an India Pale Lager, which is really, really nice.
What is it? Is it the snake?
Serpent's Kiss, which is the watermelon pills.
Yeah, so good. So good.
I'm not sure if they've still got the smoked stout, which they did with LP's Quality Meats. Yeah. Yep, of course, I'm going to hate that beer. everything they're doing is really good.
Big Sir deserves a shout. That's a great IPA.
It's one of my favorite Australian IPAs.
The guys have done a really good job with the venue. The staff are really good. And their beers are fucking on point and across a really wide style. Yep. So they're not a hop-driven brewery. They've really done a really good job to have something for everyone. The big beers are big and bold.
Mm-hmm.
The lighter styles are really approachable. And, I think they're just doing a really good job. And it's a fucking sick venue. So, if anyone's in Sydney...
Head to Big Sir.
Yeah.
Oh, not Big Sir.
Head to Grifter and have a
Big Sir. And if you're on the west coast of America, head to Big Sir. Because that's beautiful. Yeah. But different.
Well, have 15 Big Sirs and you might think you're on the west coast of America. So,
Drink responsibly.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
15
good
tasters,
call.
Yeah.
We should probably try and get down there at some point.
Yeah, we should. I think the guys would love to do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, you heard my recommendation, Corbin D. So.
Corbin D. Easy.
Yeah.
Cool. And also a huge shout out to Wayward.
Thanks for having us.
And I really enjoyed the beer that we had from them, which we talked about earlier in the episode.
Did we? Oh, cool.
Yep.
Looking forward to the ongoing releases.
Yeah.
Should be great.
Cool. Bye. Twitter handles, quickly.
Oh, yeah. Where can you find us?
Round the horn.
Okay, so you can find the podcast as a whole at Sessionable Pod.
Correct.
Correct.
Yes. also on Facebook, we're just Sessionable Podcast. I'm on Twitter at A Study in Beer. Same on Instagram as well.
I'm at Adrian Pua.
I'm very, very rarely on social media, but you can find me at The Beer Lebowski.
And I'm at The Dubell.
Right. Cool.
Cool.
Catch you next time.
See ya.
Cheers. See you.